So you're walking down the street, you turn the corner, and there it is. It's tall, it looks strange, its eyes are piercing. Immediately, you begin to get a headache, and you hear the sound, well, it sounds like a growl. You feel a presence emanating from this thing. It's a Nephilim. It's a hybrid. It is homo angelic, homo demonic. The Nephilim. There's been so much spoken about it in the last number of years. Let me tell you something concerning the providence of God. That when the world is, immersed in Satan's agenda and moving in, different needs and different things are occurring, it is clear the Spirit of God prepares. For example, as the rise of radical evil and spirits, demonic presence, battling, people being possessed in the 70s and the 80s. Well, more books on spiritual warfare were written during the, during the 80s and up and through the 90s than ever in the entire history of the church. And so there was a response. And sometimes the church clearly is way behind. I think, again, with biblical and prophetic revelation from Scripture, we could be at the cutting edge. The Nephilim. There's books being written about it for up to 10 years now. There are more books, more materials. As a matter of fact, a conference is coming, and the conference is going to have some deep focus on the Nephilim. This week, Shatter the Darkness Live is, here's the theme for Monday through Friday. The arrival of the Godmen, small g, Nephilim past, present, and future. Monday night, the origins of a super dark race of homo angelic, homo demonic, the race of Nephilim. Tuesday night, Old Testament revelations of Nephilim. Homo Damien, the tribes, the transmutation, and the dark bloodline. Wednesday night, the new occult birth of Nephilim, back breeding and the Nephilim weaponization. Where are they right now? Thursday night, Nephilim, Homo Satanus, and the concept of wild beasts out of Revelation 6, the wild Theron. Are they Nephilim? Is that a prediction that one-fourth of the earth dies because they play a part? Friday night, how do you know you're not one? Let me say that again. How do you know you're not one? That is a Nephilim. And or, if you engaged one, how would you fight one? Did David fight a Nephilim? Was Goliath clearly Nephilim? Well, we're going to look into all of that this week. Welcome to Shatter the Darkness Live. This is Russ Dizdar. It is July the 26th, Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the theme for the week, the arrival of the Godmen, small g, Nephilim past, present, and future. If you're brand new tonight, listen at the website, www.shatterthedarkness.net. That's where you're going to see the, the little slideshow that corresponds with the messages coming this week. There'll be five that will be live. There will be other broadcasts put up on our preemption. And the next Sunday night, the Luciferic Invocation, Helena Blavatsky. And is it being repeated today? Do not forget that on Tuesday night, I will be the guest host at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Survive the Thrive Radio Network. And on Thursday night, Shatter the Darkness Live, Hawk is guest host at 6 p.m. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, there's a link to a great interview that Sharon and Derek Gilbert of PID Radio has done with the professor that wrote the book Burning Down the Shack, dealing with the book and the theological errors the shack holds concerning God. And so it's a great interview. So take a look at that if you get a chance. There's session 8 and 9 out of the Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, all done. We're going to put up 10, 11 this week. We've got another one from the Holy Spirit Perception, that series, Discernment and the Errors. We dealt with that last week. This week, we'll also begin the 10-minute little mini messages that Chris White wanted us to do. And so we're going to begin to have those up. He will put those on YouTube as videos. Now, let me tell you about something. This is absolutely breaking news tonight. In all of this week, many of you have not heard yet. We're doing a conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, the August 27th, 28th. I'll be there with Lynn Marzulli and Connie Huff and Minister Dante Forson. He's the author and co-host of the Omega Hour. Now, Lynn Marzulli will be there also. And it's going to be, again, one of those cutting-edge kind of presenting the material so that the body of Christ will not be 10, 20, 30 years behind. And so I'll come that those 2 days to bring information that deals with prophetic revelation and focusing on the Red Horse issue, things like that. But we're also having another conference, and it's October the 1st and the 2nd, Canton, Ohio, 20 minutes from where I live, Canton, Ohio, October 1st and 2nd. Now, Tom Dunn is setting this up. We'll have a website done late tonight. There'll be a website, how to register, and it is already listed on our website. It's called Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Guess who's going to come and speak? Tom Horn. Tom Horn from RaidersNews.com. And author of, the books you have been reading and looking at. We'll be putting up links to his sites and information about it. So it's going to be a great privilege to be on stage with Tom. And we'll be sharing those 2 days, October 1st and 2nd. So I'm inviting you. I'm hoping and praying that you're going to come. And not only to Las Vegas, Nevada in August 27th, 28th, but also Canton, Ohio, the 1st and 2nd. A third conference, West Coast Paranormal Conference. And listen, the individuals coming there, as soon as I get the website or the registration for that, because Michael Heisner and Lynn and many other speakers are going to be out there. We'll be putting up the lists. And there's an interview with the person coordinating the West Coast Prophecy or the Paranormal Conference there in Orange County, California. PID Radio, Derek has done an interview with Sheila, and you can hear more about that there. Tonight, let me say again, welcome, shatterthedarkness.net. This is Russ Dizdar, and we are in a one-hour providential, well, I think it's a moment in time. I think it's a moment in time because of maybe you're new tonight. Maybe you've been listening every single night. For all those, we've seen the archives on our side of the fence. Global Star, I don't even know the numbers there, but I'm just saying it's been interesting that we saw a few weeks back a doubling. Now it's to the point of close to quadrupling those coming to the archives. So every show, not only does Global Star list the archives, but we also list the archives if you've missed a one of these shows at 6 p.m. It's simply a delight to have you here, and we care about your lives. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, that a great deal of prayer. You got to understand, this is a very interactive thing before we have the mic turned on and we go live. And we're looking to the Lord. We're sensing God's leading. And it's really all about you and what God is trying to bring to you. There are those that listen that are deeply committed to the dark side. Now tonight, let me ask a question. If Nephilim are on the earth right now, Are they advanced enough? And it would seem as though many that have written believe that they're highly advanced. Would they not be listening? Would they be listening? Are they in underground caverns, military bases, hiding out, waiting? Do they have the powers of, well, we'll talk about this later, invisibility, the idea of being able to cloak themselves? Well, we're going to take a look at why this is so important. Because you listening tonight, it's all about the end of days, and we're looking at all the different issues, the unprecedented rise of dark supernaturalism, possession, voices in the head, the bleeding of the prince of the power of the air's agenda into politics, military vision, the economic destabilization. Hey, the money's going somewhere. Don't think that Antichrist won't have his pockets packed when he comes with a new supercharged regime that I personally believe is already in place, and that they're bursting at the seams to break open. But in the context of that, it's about last day's issues. One third of the New Testament is about prophecy, last day's issues. There's massive, there's mega teaching and a call from the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 24 about our need to know that of all the things that I've looked at, all the other streams, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, all of the old occultists that have predicted things, and now, listen here, now the Mayan prophecies, I'm telling you right now, we're getting ready to do a series. I might do 2 weeks on this issue in a few months. I might write on this issue because I'm seeing now that the Mayan prophecies may have played a known part. In other words, years and years ago, before they were shut down, there seems to be an embodiment of writings and prophetic writings that completely fuel globalism, the coming catastrophic collapse, a new age or a new dawn. Those prophecies are spirit-led, spirit-guided, but not by the Spirit of God. Was it that they were plotted and planned and sealed and held for the future? Could it be at other sites where Nephilim architecture, Nephilim presence, and massive human sacrifice and enormous gateways to the demon gods were opened wide? Could it be that many of those locations at that time in history received and embodied a lot of the satanic agenda and have held it, and the spirits and the gods and goddesses, small g, of those temples that do not die, that do not go away, have been in a satanic synchronicity, drawing people, opening hearts and minds, guiding others to become the vessels of some of the darkest, deepest, demonic-inspired, prophetic writings that help to fuel the satanic agenda at the end of days. And I can almost guarantee you clearly that there's going to be a great, deep, broad discussion of Nephilim when it comes to the ancient occult or dark spirit-inspired writings, prophecies. And I'm going to say again, all of the remote viewers that are tapping into the collective unconscious, the Akashic records, the data and the revelation is the same source. There is a clear synchronicity of the sequence of satanic evolution, the plot, the plan, all of it laid out. So all of it is going to involve even those in the deep field of, alienology, ufology, and the communication, the visitation, all the rest. It is immersed in the concept of Nephilim. Godmen, small g. And I think that one of the reasons I'm doing the series this week is not only the books that have been written, the conferences that are coming up, the need to know. The issue is what Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 24. And so tonight, this is the reason that I feel led to pour out this week this series, simply called The Arrival of the Godmen, small g, Nephilim Past, Present, and Future. Now tonight, the issue of the origins. The origins go back, you and I both know, many of you listening anyway know that the origins go back to what? Genesis chapter 6. And there in Genesis 6, we have the picture very clearly in verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. Again, books have been written, and I've got most all of them. Video and documentary and looking at Von Daniken's materials, looking at Stitchin's materials, looking at the New Age concept of star children, indigo children. The digging up, the archaeologists there in the Mayan temples and other places where ziggurats were built. The gods and goddesses that guided territorially in those days have never died. They only wait and knock and work to draw others into what their agenda is a part of. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you now. If you understand the sequence of satanic evolution and the events that he will cause and the arrival of Homo Satanus and the false prophet, Theron, when you begin to look at this, only the Spirit of God has given the detailed, infallible, indestructible, but very clear, accurate. And I'm going to tell you this too. God has selected what is the most important things to know about the sequential development. It's not just that evil is out there and it's bad. It is that evil is really out there. There really is an entity, a fallen cherub, Satan, the devil, the dragon, all the names that God gives, gives partial description of the utter, radical, horrific, passionate evil that he is. And the biggest issue today, and I'm going to say this as a pastor for 30 years in the past, is that I've never heard a sermon in 30 years, even when I got saved and went into a church, I didn't hear a sermon on the Nephilim. When I went to Bible school and another college, a Christian college, and another Christian college, nope, nope, no discussion there, no information there. And yet, in the last 10 years, more information has come out about the Nephilim. Now hear me. From what I understand, what I know from my reading, and I've got a, listen, truly, honestly, I've got 1,000 theology books over here to my left. I'm in my study center. This is where I do some research and done for years and years. Just in the area of systematic theology and theology itself, some deep writings and so forth. I love studying it. I love teaching it. I've taught systematic theology locally for over 20 years. And I put out a course with 55 hours, a basic course, takes 9 months locally to go through for students. It's now up absolutely free if you want it. Let me tell you what I haven't read in all those theology books. Not one word that I can really recollect anywhere, any place. I mean, they've got a chapter on bibliology, on theology proper, on eschatology, ecclesiology. We have angelology, we have demonology, we can have soteriology. The doctrines of salvation, the Holy Spirit, of God, the Bible, But I'm telling you, I can't say that I have found in all those thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pages in the last 30 years, some of the most cutting-edge systematic theology books, there is a complete absence of any discussion on the Nephilim. So then why are we doing it? Well, because number one, listen now, number one, it is clearly in the Word of God. And if we're going to be faithful in teaching all the Word of God, then we've got to be faithful in everything and quit being selective and quit selecting what we're going to teach based on what we think people will receive. God says something about that in the books of Timothy and Titus, that no preacher, no teacher of the Word of God is only to cater the teaching to what itching ears want to hear. We stand in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ Jesus and the elect angels, and we are commanded to preach the Word of God in season, out of season, in His presence. And every one of us who teach on the Word of God will definitely be dealt with more seriously because of what we've done in handling the Word of God. So if we're going to teach verse by verse, you're going to get it. If we're going to do this, we're going to get it. Now, listen, because of the end times issues and because of one third of the New Testament being prophecy of the end times, well, we go to Matthew 24 and we find out that Jesus says, gives one of the most explosive, detailed, sequential pictures of the end of days. And it involves things like, it'll be so horrific, so bad, those days will have never occurred in human history prior and never will again. As a matter of fact, the days will become so bad that unless Jesus cuts them short, there would be no human flesh left. Biblical prophecy says in less than that last 7 years, at the very minimum, if it begins soon, 4 billion or more will die in less than a 4 to 5 year period. So when we look at all these massive, 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 incredible revelations, prophetic revelations of the end of days, that are meant to give us a heads up, meant to give us the fire to bring warning and preach the gospel and do the mission of God before the curtain closes. I'm asking Christians right now, are we part of the mission of God before the curtain close? Even when I talk about the Nephilim, I'm going to tell you what, that it spurs me on to evangelism. Number one reason, God loves the totality of a reckless, sinful, fallen, broken, going crazy, ragged edge of a humanity. He died for sinners like you and me. God wants sinners saved. God's patience is greater than anybody's. God's grace is broader, and there is nothing higher. And God wills, and God is passionate, and God has sent the power of the Spirit and has given the instructions. It is a great pleasure and privilege to know God, to walk with Christ, to do worship, and to be filled. But it is the mission of God that we must never lose as we talk about the worst of the worst of the end time issues. It's in the Word. That's why we're bringing it out. It's right there in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days prior to the flood. And then also afterwards, everybody knows. You can read 25 other translations. You can go to the Hebrew yourself. Now, I'm immersed in Greek, but I'm not immersed at all yet in Hebrew. Although I did look up every single word in the Hebrew. I'm not very good at pronouncing. That's why I'm not going to quote it. I like to study, I like to look, but I want to see. And this is all talking about the B'nai Ha-Elohim and how they went to the daughters of man, just human females. Now, we have the picture in Genesis 6:4 But we also have, and let me just give you a quick verse for later. We'll do this tomorrow night deeply on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Numbers 13:33. Again, way after the flood. Generations, how they restarted, well, I mean, it would have to have been, again, visitation. Some would have to say that Nephilim, not all of them were killed during the flood. We don't have any information on that. There's a lot of extra biblical, you know, writings, and I've sought to read all those writings and knock all those things. But I want to come back to why God has selected to give the information he wanted about this issue. In Numbers 13:33, again, for all those to teach, who teach the Word of God, here's part of the teaching. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, in parentheses here. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. Have you read Numbers 13:33? Because tomorrow night, you'll see, we'll look at the Old Testament and the tribes and kings and others, and we'll look at Goliath. And since there's been no flood since, and we don't have a scripture that says that the Nephilim were all eradicated, then bloodlines may have continued. That's going to get into Wednesday night and Thursday night. Tonight, simply to say this, Nephilim. What are they? They are simply a fallen angel and human crossbreed. Now, here's what I want you to consider. Many of you who are believers in Christ, you know very clearly concerning the incarnation. And I want to say to New Agers and remote viewers and to psychics and to, even the those immersed in dark theology, those that believe in the real Luciferic agenda. Let me tell you one thing, the undergrounders that I've dealt with over the years, last 20-some years, you got to understand how deeply versed they are in understanding Nephilim concept. I'll be telling you this week what they believe about it, what their part is in the resurfacing or backbreeding or the attempts of Nephilim, well, how they see the future. I'm going to tell you about some of the things we've seen under the carpet. We had to dig for it, but I believe by God's providence we found some things. But I'm going to tell you that the Word of God already spoke about. If we already look at the Word of God, barring, you know, not looking at any other extra-biblical writings or dealing with anybody else, there's enough content about the Nephilim to give us a heads up about the days we live in, about the end of days, about the most dramatic panoramic view of biblical prophecy, Revelation 6, and the four horses and the riders, which are, again, prophetic picture, bringing us dramatic communication about a sequence of events. The spirit of Antichrist, Antichrist, all of that development, white horse. The massive chaos, bloodshed, loss of life, horrific loss of peace in the earth. Chaos, catastrophic collapse, the red horse. The massive scarcity, black horse, economics, food, oil. And then the pale horse, the one that's looks, well, literally the word means, looks somewhat like a dead horse. It is about four elements involved in the killing of one-fourth of humanity. And that includes the wild beasts, the Theron. And I don't believe that it's going to be giraffes and hamsters gone wild killing humanity. So we're going to take a look at that this week. And you might want to do some studies and see how in the book of Revelation, which, by the way, has massive Old Testament content reiterated, if not quoted directly like the Book of Daniel. So wild beasts of the earth involved in a fourth of the earth being killed, dying. Well, in the Old Testament, there are what are called wild beasts, like tribes. Were they just demonized, or were they second, third, fourth generation Nephilim? So do a little study as we get prepared for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Friday's going to be kind of a heyday. So, by the way, if you want to send in questions prior to the shows, you can do that at shatterxmailsbcglobal.net. Sometimes right during the show, we can get to live questions that come in. And we're glad to do that. So, but if you want to have throw some questions in and you want to, you know, put some ideas in, if you want to, let me know prior to the rest of this week. Appreciate the note from Karen and the Rothschilds. She's mentioning here are so powerful. They have lots of money, no doubt about that. And I want to say that in studying all the wealthy elite and all the rest, we need to do it praying that God crack through, bust through, because wherever you have Luciferic elite, Luciferic wealthy elite, they're going to have the shielding, supernatural shielding of that secret power of lawlessness that is already at work. So we need to pray, not just research. We've learned this years ago in hunting and going down is, you know, and literally spending thousands of hours tracking, going to bases, going to places, confiscating materials, engaging people in black uniforms, all kinds of stuff we can tell you about here in the future. A lot of which, not all of it, in the book The Black Awakening, The Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers, it has everything to do with the concept of Nephilim blood, backbreeding, the concepts of what's coming in the future. That book, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, is there. And it includes, when you buy it, 100 hours of teaching, training, course material. And the publisher for the summer is also eliminating the postal charges. So it's free shipping. So that, I'm saying again, and I'm only telling you that there's great materials and books. We quoted a lot in our book. But inside the book, The Black Awakening, there is content that is not written in any other books yet. And there is more content we wanted to put in, but we had to stop. And so we're going to add chapters to the website. There's a website called theblackawakening.com. You can go there and get all kinds of insights and video stuff and materials prior. And we will be, and we tried last month to begin with one of those extra chapters, ran into trouble again. It was the one 500 million rituals. Now, that one will be coming out soon. It'll be the first of about six added chapters to the book. So the book is really kind of interactive. As you read it, you'll be able to go to 100 MP3s that all relate to the concepts, spiritual warfare, rise of Satanism, the Black Awakening itself, the Book of Daniel, chapter by chapter. All that's there. And so when Karen sends this in, it just reminds me. And she asks, could one of the family of the Rothschilds be the Antichrist? Well, you know, I don't know. It's a possibility. And the reason I say possibility is... and we're doing a series that will eventually have 55 hours. I think it has about 9 hours now, called The Rise of Homo Satanus, that involves the birth. Now, I want to stop again and go back to this origins issues. The reason we're going to do five nights, and that will only be really a surface, a scraping of the surface of the whole subject, though... It will be more content. 5 hours of this will be more content than probably most Christians have ever heard their entire lifetime. And that's simply the truth. But the reason we're bringing it out, number one, biblical revelation. It's there in the Bible. It occurred before the flood, after the flood, and the words of Jesus are very striking. And the folks in Las Vegas, Nevada, decided to use those words of Jesus to, well, that's what the conference is dealing with. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now, get what Jesus is saying. Number one, he's talking about the days of Noah with a clear sense of historicity. Very clear that Jesus not only knew about Noah. Matter of fact, Noah's part of the bloodline to Christ. The pure, unadulterated bloodline. Why do you think there's a genealogy of Jesus? It's more than just his history on a human level, but his history on a pure human level. Up to the time of the flood, please understand, in reading the context, it became so horrific, humanity was so transmuted, so polluted. The Nephilim, if you read all the other literature back in those days, were eating up all the animals, becoming cannibalistic with humans. There began battles and fights. And it may have been that humanity had been brought down to very few pure humans left. Some suggest that the Nephilim was plotted and planned by the dark side to wipe out pure humanity because of the prediction of Genesis 3:15. The coming of God in human flesh for the redemption of mankind. The first prophecy is found in Genesis 3. And it's about God coming in human flesh. It's about the conquering of the fallen cherub. And it's very clear, anybody, you know, should get this by now, that Satan is very, very astute when it comes to the scripture and specifically to prophecy. And he's always trying to negate the recipients of prophecy or try to stop it again and again and again. All the way to Armageddon, he will try to preempt the events of God that are predicted, including the first coming of Christ and the second coming. Both are, well, the first one was already attempted. The second will be a massive, final, unequaled, as Jesus said, in all of human history, attempt. So when we talk about the arrival, we can go to the past. We can go to Genesis 6. We can look at the context concerning the flood and realize that the flood was a saving work of God to save humanity from being utterly annihilated, utterly wiped out, utterly, completely destroyed. And only Nephilim left. So in the flood, the destruction occurs. And by the way, God does have a right. Does not the judge of the earth do right? God does have a right to stop and to end the radical evil. You read the context. Humanity had devolved to pure evil in all their thinking and acting and doing. Their engagement with the demonic was vast. The transmutation of hybrid human-demon mix was vast. And so it's important that we look and say, hey, this is in Scripture. We must study it. We must see what it has to do with the past. What about the present? What about the future? Since they were here before the flood, and then again later. Look at the emphasis. It is very clear God selectively, purposely, put the heads up there in Genesis 6, and then again later. Any clear studying of the Old Testament, you're going to find Nephilim tribes. When you do a broader study worldwide, you're going to find the ziggurats, and even the pyramids. Nephilim architecture that brings a connection to astroarchaeology. Opening the gateways and advancing the goal to demonize completely the earth, humanity, everything. That's what the new globalism is all about. That's what the arrival of the Antichrist, false prophet, all the rest, that's what it's all about. I mean, go read Revelation 18 and find out that Babylon, the worldwide religious spiritual system, counterfeit to the body of Christ, pure counterfeit, it is the home of every demon. It is the most manifested, spiritually dark manifested, as far as territorially, cities, nations, peoples, politics, military, weaponization, and soldiering. It is, listen, you and I do not realize how completely dark spirits by the hundreds of millions will pack the earth, manifest-wise, in lives, over cities, in the air, upon everything. The politics, the ideology, the military, the economic schemes, globalism from beginning to end is pure, pure agenda from Hell's Kitchen. Though it's masqueraded, obviously they put the icing on the poisonous cake. Those who do eat will be bitten. This is the reason for Matthew 24. This is the reason that Jesus would stand there, God in human flesh, in reference to the last days. And put it in the context, as it was in the days of Noah. Notice that Jesus did not say in Matthew 24, except for the fact of the Nephilim. He didn't say they won't be here. He didn't say everything about the days of Noah except that one issue. So I'm taking the words of Jesus to be very clear, including all of what was the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, well, people were evil. People were living and doing and everything else. And the Nephilim were there. And the fallen angels had taken women and created these hybrids, these creatures. They're never referred to as human, though they may look human. Not completely, but they can. Please understand the genetics. Let me touch on the genetics of the issue. If you're a believer and you understand the incarnation, remember Mary, the Gospel of Luke, not just a Christmas story. It is a, again, by the Spirit of God, selected to give the history, to give the content, to show God's activity. Prophesied 700 years in advance, God would visit Emmanuel. A virgin would be with child. Mighty God, everlasting Father. You know, 700 years in advance, some vast details about God's arrival, Logos in human flesh. Well, Mary's like, how's this going to be? That's what any human would ask. And the answer from the angel that knows, at least knows how, it would be, it would occur, the conception of God in human flesh would occur by the means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves the prophets to speak. As a matter of fact, if you look at Peter chapter 1, it gives reference that that's the Spirit of Christ guiding them 700 years before Christ came. We've got to understand that that God in human flesh was a visitation of the Eternal One that was always and already there. But inside the womb, Mary, clearly, as far as her genealogy and her genetics, pure, absolute human. Do you understand traducianism? Do you understand that when a man and a woman, they come together and when the egg is fertilized, when there's a breaking in, the instantaneous moment, it's kind of like new birth, it's kind of like the glorification, and beyond, quicker than a twinkling of an eye, it is a spiritual explosion in a sense, conception. It finally occurs, and guess what? At that instant of conception, the human spirit is birthed, in a sense, and inseparably the physical life begins. I mean, that's clear. Old Testament, Jesus said the baby in the womb is Braphos, a living human being. Obviously, abortion is the slaughter, the murdering of a human being. Life begins at the instant moment of conception. And in the case of the God-man Christ, we have God, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that speaks to the deity of the Holy Spirit, because we knew that it was going to be God causing it. But we have the Spirit of God, God, the Holy Spirit. Spirit to human female egg. Immaterial God to material human egg. We have the conception. We have the DNA. We have the genetics. We have the concept here of a mix. Jesus Christ is a mix. 100% and fully God. 100% and fully humankind, mankind, man. Not 60-40, not 70-30, not even 50-50. This is 100%, 100%. If you understand the incarnation, you understand the genetics of the incarnation. I wish New Agers would grab it. I wish those who are seeking the secret teaching of the ages would drop the illusion, the chasing of the carrot, you know? Putting the string out there in the carrot and the donkey chases it forever, never gets it. That's that elitist knowledge promised by the fallen cherub that has never been got to because it's not there to get to. Just the illusion of it. Contrary to that, contrary to star children, contrary to indigo children, contrary to Nephilim, contrary to Homo Satanus, contrary to Homo Lumos, Homo Nautica, is God in Emmanuel, God in human flesh. So the genetics of the incarnation. Biblical minded individuals know that it was spirit to human female egg that caused conception, life, and that life was the mix. See, I've got a daughter. God gave us the power to procreate, and my daughter was here today getting things ready. She has a meeting. They have a great impact meeting they do out here in the area. And she's meeting with leaders and praying. They get down and they pray for an hour or two. But she was here today and going through all the stuff, whatever else, and getting things done. I remember the day she was born. The moment C-section, the doctor lifted her up out of my wife and said, "It's a girl." I couldn't help it. I screamed. I screamed out loud as I could, and screamed, "It's a girl." Everybody stopped and looked at me. They saw the delight on my face. They all smiled and even laughed, handed my little baby daughter to somebody else. They checked her out, did everything, checked the fingers. They were so enthralled with my excitement because we'd waited 10 years. Doctors told us after surgeries with my wife, we would never have a child. But we talked to God about this issue. He's the God of Sarah, right? And God healed her, and she did have to lay down for months and months and months for the baby to stick to the wall of the womb. But you know what it was? A mix between a man and a woman. My daughter's just simply a human being. She has features on a physical scale that look a little bit like us. Some say she looks like her mom. Some say she looks like her dad. I think she looks like herself. Just a human being. You listening to me came out the same way. Unless, of course, you're a chosen one. Or if, let's get into the possibilities, okay? If the Nephilim are actually present on the earth more than we can even say, You think they might be listening? I know the Luciferians and undergrounders and others and sub-personalities that do recon on this show listen. What does he know? Where did he get the information? I'm giving them information they've never gotten because they're not allowed to read the Bible. You guys aren't allowed to even read or touch the Word of God. You have no idea of the vast content of the Spirit-given revelation of God. You have no clue, let alone the predictive prophecy of your end. So I warn you before God and tell you about His love. Get out of the darkness as quickly as you can. Renounce it and come to the living Christ, claiming pure, sinless, the blood of God of Christ to wash you, cleanse you, be effectual in you, Christ to come into your life, give you the Spirit of God, kick out, well, break the sin nature, break the bonds of Satan, kick out the demonic and give you a new nature, a new life, and put into you eternal life. Do you want to know God? If you're sitting there seething and all you want to do is fight God, well, you know, maybe get into your little circle and have a talk about Judas. Maybe take a look at Revelation 19:20. There is the predictive end of all of Luciferic globalism, all the super soldiers, all of you. That's the advanced picture of a overwhelming, quick, non-stressful, on the side of God, final destruction of all that has been worked for and the loss of your life and soul forever and ever and ever because you believed a lie, a liar. Satan is, Lucifer is, as Jesus said, the father of lies. That's biblical revelation. I think a lot of undergrounders know their system lies. Back again, origins of a super, dark race, homo angelic, fallen angelic, the race of Nephilim. God gives the picture clearly and the reasons for the flood to wipe that menace, that transmutation, mutating the original, changing everything. Obviously, it involved genetics. Spirit, well, if you want to call the B'nai Elohim, however they appeared, I don't know. They were solid, physical, whatever. All we do know is that from God the Holy Spirit, spirit to human female egg, conception occurred. And in that case, God in human flesh. And I want to say that from the B'nai Elohim, and again, angel, whether the Hebrew word or the New Testament Greek word, messenger, the entity, the being. This is a powerful being. Been around prior even to the creation of the human race. I don't believe that was part of the fall or second fall. I believe they were already fallen. They were just coming down to do what they were going to do. To engage, to try to, and again, I would say my opinion would be it was an attack, spiritual warfare attack in a mega way to change the genetics of humanity, to erase humanity and replace it. Let me tell you something about Nephilim. Nephilim would be a crossbreed between a fallen, when I say fallen angel, listen, please understand. Go back to Ezekiel 28. You've got the one who, once walked among the fiery stones of God, once perfect in all his ways, but sanctuaries were desecrated. It was as if there was a twisting, a turning inside out. I believe in the fall of the anointed cherub, the genetics of that entity are completely blackened inside out, totally changed because, look at the Hebrew word, until wickedness was found. A violent insurrection, a known, plotted, planned, thought through, willed to to the highest, I mean, beyond Nietzsche, the will to will against God. That's the origin of sin. That's where it all started. That's what the Word of God teaches. And in leading a third of the angels away, astray, as we even see in the New Testament, Revelation 12, they also changed. So I'm going to say their genetics, if that's what they have, or their DNA, if that's what they have, in some level, the structure of an angel is completely inside out, and they also have done this by choice. It is clear they are fixed. There is no redemption. And not only is there no redemption, there is no indication they want it. There's never been any biblical revelation of one iota of remorse or wishing they could go back. They only want to go forward. They only demonstrate a passionate, eternal, vengeful hatred of God and of the human race. So when we go to the very origins, we deal with a crossbreed. So if that you were walking down around the corner of a building and actually ran into a Nephilim. Now see, in that day, when it says they were men of renown, please understand, men of renown, not in the good sense. Look up the Hebrew word. It has the idea of shame. Charles Manson is a person of renown in the sense that he's known. There's stories talked about him. They discuss him. They all these kind of things. Nephilim did amazing things, incredible things. Why? Because as a crossbreed, the genetics, not being human, but being a crossbreed of fallen angel and human, they were bigger, stronger, lasted longer. They didn't outbreed the death code, though. We find not one Nephilim trying to turn to God. They can't. They won't. Jesus wasn't Nephilim. He didn't die for Nephilim. What we find is that they were horrifically transmuting humanity. They just lived as wild beasts of the earth. And they were eating up everything, including humans. It is my contention that as they spread out, they're the ones that developed, well, many of the ancient temples and places. I see that we're out of time. The music has come, and we're grateful to have been with you. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. We got so much to say, so little time to say it. We urge you to come to Christ if you don't know him. If you're a believer, stand strong. Keep us in your prayers. Remember us in support, and we bless you for it. Good night.